Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynam. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Hey listeners, today we are answering some very fun nature questions that you kids are asking. I am so excited to dive in because you kids have some amazing questions. Before we get to today's questions, let's thank our sponsor who helped make this episode possible, Masterbooks. Masterbooks has a wild and wonderful library of nature and science books for kids that give all credit and glory to God. They are committed to helping families grow in faith, wisdom, and wonder together. Discover God's designs as you venture through books like Dragons of the Deep, Dinosaurs by Design, 44 Animals of the Bible, or Bugs, Big and Small, God Made Them All. Every book is written to cultivate wonder and nurture faith. Our family has many kids' books by Masterbooks in our library, and I never have to worry about what my kids are reading when I see a Masterbooks logo on the cover. Explore all of Masterbooks' curriculum and books for all ages from a biblical worldview at masterbooks.com or at the link in our show notes. All right, let's answer some curious questions from you kids. Here is our first question.
Hi, my name is Eleanor, and I'm 5 years old, and I like to know, do fish need air to live?
Thanks for your question, Eleanor. Do fish need air to live? I love watching the fish in my fish tank swim. I've enjoyed taking care of fish for a very long time. It was actually one of my very first jobs. When I was 15 years old, I had a job helping a family friend with their business, which took care of fresh and saltwater fish tanks. I had the chance to clean fish tanks at the local library, nursing homes, and at people's houses, including a massive saltwater tank with a poisonous lionfish and an eel. As we watch fish swimming, we might wonder, like Eleanor did, do fish need air to live? Us humans breathe because we need something called oxygen to live. And fish need oxygen too. But if fish live in the water, how do they get oxygen? Did you know that water has oxygen in it? It's true. The chemical formula of water is called H2O. Maybe you've heard that before. H2O means that water is made out of two hydrogen atoms, that's the H2 in the formula, and one oxygen atom, that's the O in the formula. This really just means those are the ingredients in water, and the ingredients include oxygen. Fish do not inhale and exhale like we do. Instead, God gave fish special organs called gills that filter oxygen out of the water. As water washes over a fish's gills, the gills remove the oxygen atoms, taking the oxygen into the fish's body. A fish does not breathe air the same way that humans or other animals do. But our brilliant Creator God designed them with their own unique and special way to get the necessary oxygen. If you want to learn more about how fish and other creatures get oxygen in interesting ways, listen to Lesson 68, How Do Fish Breathe Underwater? The Curious Ways Creatures Breathe, at the link in our show notes. Thanks, Eleanor. Here is our next question.
Hi. My name is Jordan. I am 7 years old. I want to know, how do grown-up immortal jellyfish change themselves back into babies?
That's a really good question, Jordan. How do grown-up immortal jellyfish change themselves back into babies? I remember as a child, I was excited to grow up. Maybe you kids are too. I enjoy being an adult now, but sometimes I think it'd be fun to be a kid again. And sometimes I enjoy playing like a kid again, like jumping from rock to rock across a stream or climbing a tree. I cannot technically turn back into a kid, but there is a jellyfish that, after it grows up, can turn back into being a kid jellyfish again. It is called the immortal jellyfish. God designed immortal jellyfish to have two stages to their life cycle. The first is called the polyp stage. During this stage, the immortal jellyfish looks more like a soft coral than a jellyfish. In a few weeks, the polyp stage progresses into the medusa stage, which is when the immortal jellyfish is an adult with tentacles and a main body part called a bell. In the medusa stage, an immortal jellyfish looks like, well, like a jellyfish. But God gave the immortal jellyfish an amazing ability to reset its life cycle over and over again. When the adult jelly gets stressed out or injured, it pulls in its tentacles, shrinks, and absorbs its bell, collapsing into a blob called a cyst on the ocean floor. Then, the jellyfish undergoes a special process called transdifferentiation. During transdifferentiation, special cells from the adult jellyfish reprogram themselves into a completely different kind of cell, enabling the adult jellyfish to turn back into a baby, where it re-enters the polyp stage. In a few weeks, it will be an adult in the medusa stage again. As long as the immortal jellyfish doesn't die before it resets its life cycle, it can keep resetting itself over and over again. Isn't that amazing? God's design in the immortal jellyfish can certainly cause us to feel awe and wonder. If you want to learn more about the immortal jellyfish, listen to Lesson 47 with my friend and marine biologist, Sherry Seligson, as we discuss, can jellyfish live forever? I'll link to that episode in the show notes. Thanks, Jordan. Here is our next question.
Hi, my name is Elle. I am 8 years old and I live in Tennessee. Here's my question. Why do burrowing owls burrow?
Thanks for your question, Elle. Do you know that burrowing owls are one of the birds that always escapes me? I have never been able to spot one. And it's not that I have not tried. Here in Colorado, we have a few places nearby where I know these adorable little owls burrow in the summer. My husband has seen them a few times, but always when I wasn't with him. And they are still high on my list of animals that I want to see in the wild. They certainly are very cute. When you think of owls, you probably think of them living high up in trees. But God created one species of owl, the burrowing owl, to nest underground. Burrowing owls live across North and South America in habitats like grasslands, prairies, and deserts. Can you think of what all of these habitats have in common? They're pretty flat and open, and they don't have many trees. So burrowing owls need to find somewhere besides trees to make their nests. Burrowing owls nest underground, but they don't usually dig their own holes. Instead, they move into abandoned burrows left by animals such as badgers, prairie dogs, and skunks. Nesting in the ground gives burrowing owls shelter from the weather, helps them stay safe from predators, and gives them a safe place to raise their babies. Burrowing owls might live in places without many trees, but God designed them to feel at home underground. If you want to learn more about owls, listen to Lesson 25, Are Owls Wise? At the link in the show notes. Thanks for your question, Elle. Here's our next one.
Hello, my name is Connor. I am 6 years old. Why do crabs have eyes that stick out?
Good question, Connor. Why do crabs have eyes that stick out? Crabs can look silly and curious as they scurry around with eyes held up tall above their heads. I love watching them on the sand when my family visits the ocean. If you've been to a beach, you might have noticed sand-colored crabs scooping sand as they scuttle around digging holes. If you've gotten a closer look at a crab, you've noticed its eyes are not like yours. Instead, God designed crab eyes to be long and oval-shaped, raised up on eye stalks. A crab's tall eyes can also swivel around without the crab having to move its body. Since much of a crab's life happens low to the ground, eating whatever they can find on the ground and digging holes, having eyes on eye stalks gives a crab a very wide field of vision. In fact, some species of crabs can see 360 degrees around them. Living so low to the ground and digging in sand causes lots of debris to get in their eyes. But God designed a crab to be able to pull its eye stalks back into their exoskeletons to protect their eyes and to clean sand and dirt from the eye stalks. That is a wonderful design. The next time you see a crab scurrying into a hole on the beach, think about the amazing way that God engineered their eyes. Thanks, Connor. Here is our next question.
Hi, my name is Griffin. I'm 4 years old and I live in New York. And my question is, why the lions roar?
What a great question, Griffin. Why do lions roar? A lion's roar is a fearsome sound. Did you know that under the right conditions, the sound of their roar can travel several miles across the savanna? So why do they roar? Well, just like you talk to your friends and family to communicate with them, roaring is a lion's way of communicating. A lion might roar to claim territory for its group called a pride, its way of telling other lion prides to stay away. It might roar to locate another lion from its pride. And male lions also might roar to show their dominance and strength. Just like God made you with a voice to talk and sing and laugh and yell, God created lions with powerful vocal cords to communicate with roars. And here is an interesting fact. While African lions have big, fearsome roars, mountain lions cannot roar. Mountain lions are a very different type of animal in the wildcat family. We have them here where I live in Colorado, and they do not roar. Thanks, Griffin. Here is our next question.
Hi, my name is Emma. I'm 6 years old, and I live in Tennessee. I want to know, why do stick bugs look like sticks?
Oh, good question, Emma. Why do stick bugs look like sticks? I've had the chance to see stick bugs in the wild, and my mom once sent me photos of tiny baby stick bugs she had in her garden. I also wonder how many stick bugs I've walked right past in my lifetime without noticing them because they blend in so well. Stick bugs are also called walking sticks. They are found in woodlands and tropical rainforests on every continent except Antarctica. God designed these amazing insects with special camouflage. To notice a walking stick, you have to pay very close attention to the trees around you because these insects blend in super well to their surroundings. They look just like a stick or a twig from a tree. In our fallen world that is broken because of sin's curse, creatures like walking sticks are in danger of being eaten by predators. So God made walking sticks to be able to hide easily in the trees by making them look like the trees. The insect's camouflage allows it to hide in plain sight to avoid becoming a bird or other creature's next meal. God's wonderful creativity is on display in everything He has created, including the brilliantly camouflaged walking stick. Thank you, Eleanor, Jordan, L, Connor, Griffin, and Emma for your fantastic questions. nature showcases God's creativity. Think about how wise he is to make so many different creatures. There are so many that he created that we haven't even yet discovered. Did you know that we have podcast lessons about many of the creatures we talked about today? When you're finished listening here, scroll down to the show notes and click over to one of those lessons to continue the adventure. Listener, what are you curious about in nature this week? Here's a challenge. Go play outside or enjoy a nature walk. As you do, look for a creature. When one catches your attention, watch it for a while. Observe it long enough for a question to form in your mind. Why does the creature act the way it does? Why is it made the way that God created it? Let that question lead you on a grand adventure as you seek out answers and marvel at all that God has made. Let's wrap up with one of my favorite verses, Psalm 104, verse 24. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Thank you for listening to this fun episode exploring curious questions from kids. If you enjoyed it, please take a moment to send it to a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all alone.